It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. We global. BashaniRadio.com. New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also text to give by texting the letters LK and the number 638 to the telephone number 41444, and that's LK638 to the number 41444. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message. Before you are seated, I ask that you please get your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and if you have it, say amen. Amen. And I'd like for us to read it all together. These three verses, read it all together. And the word of the Lord reads, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake him to all that look for the redemption in Jerusalem." It's a lot going on there. And I just want to talk to the ladies today. And if I had to put a topic to this today, it would be the faithful woman who witnessed. The faithful woman who witnessed. You may be seated in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. I want to start off first by saying to the ladies of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you all. And my goal here today is I want to encourage the women of this ministry. I know you all hear me all the time talk about the men, the men, the men, the men. I want to let y'all know today, I harp on the men, but I never, ever take the women of this ministry for granted. All right? I actively pursue men because typically there are few men in number in the church, and they are needed. But I want to encourage you all because I'm going to be there to support you. I'm going to be there to back you. As I used to tell, I'm going to be the biggest cheerleader that any ministry here can have as your pastor.
So I'm going to speak to you all today to encourage you all. And I love that song, "The Battle Is Not Yours, It's the Lord's." Because I want you to understand, ladies, that in serving God, you're going to have some tough times. You're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some challenges. And fill in the blank here. And people that just, you can fill it in. People that just won't do. People just won't show up. People that just, and I let you fill it in. But what I'm here to tell you today, and Anna was just a good example, and that's why the Lord laid her upon my heart to talk to you all about Anna today. So understand, in the ministry and in what you're doing, it's not for me. It's not for anybody else. It's for the Lord. And when you get that perspective, the tough times and the challenges become more bearable. I will never say that they get easy, but they become more bearable because you can understand that it's not up to me. It's not my battle. It's the Lord's battle. And what am I saying today? Use your gifts to glorify God, not man. Use your gifts to do God's will for his pleasure and for pleasing him and not for man's praise. Because man will praise you 1 minute and throw you under the bus the next. Because the unregenerate soul only looks after their own interest. But we as the body of Christ look after one another and we protect one another. So what you do is as unto the Lord and not for man. Or for me. And I want to let you all know that women are needed and they're an integral part of the church. I'm not going to get into all the specific roles of women, but I'm here today to let you know that the Lord values your service. And I value your service to the Lord. And you say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Because I know what it's like. I know what it's like, but Anna is a good example of patience and continuing in the things of God, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it is, no matter how a situation, she never lost faith in that, and God blessed her, even in her old age. What am I saying? Turn with me to Galatians. No, first, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. These two scriptures are together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Is it all right if I just take my time and just teach today? Because I want to encourage you all today. I don't want you to get disheartened. And I don't want y'all to think, I don't know your struggle, but I do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 reads, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Now, what you have to do is look at the passages of scripture above that to really get an understanding of what's going on. Here, Paul was talking to people who were Christians and they were about to quit. They were about to just give up because people wouldn't do right. You see, they wouldn't do right. And they were getting ready to quit because they were tired of supporting lazy people that wouldn't work. That's what the script, because the context of this is that people were supposed to work. And see, Paul here in the scriptures above, he set an example. Paul, as an apostle, chose to work. Because as an apostle, he didn't have to because the church was supposed to provide for him. But Paul, as an example, said, I am going to work. And that's why Paul was a tent maker. And he worked because Paul even said, if they don't work, they don't need to eat. So that's scripture, and that's above. So that's why he was saying, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Paul said, I'm going to work. I can take an offering from you, but I'm going to work as an example to show you that I'm going to preach the gospel and work. So therefore, you should work as well. But then you're always going to have those who don't want to work, and they're going to cause you to say, my God, you let this go on, and they won't do this. And that. But Paul says, be not weary and well-doing. Why? Because there's somebody that still needs your gift. Because there's somebody that just needs to hear you minister to them. Somebody is on the brink of giving up, but they're watching you. And if you hold on, they will grow stronger in the Lord. So you can't get weary. You can't get weary. Yes, it gets hard, but how do you stop from you go to God and say, Lord, help me. Because a lot of times you just want to give up. You say, Lord, I'm doing all this and nobody helping. And I go and they just show up on here to do that. And I got to do all this and I got to do it. The Lord said, I know. I understand. But that battle with them is not yours. It's mine. I'll take care of them. But I need you to hold the faith because in the end, I'm going to take care of you. And when I take care of you and bless you, they're going to say, oh, I wish I had a stay. I'm here to encourage the ladies today. Now, go with me to Galatians, another supporting scripture, that Galatians 6 and 9. See, don't lose heart because of people just won't do right. That's all right. They ain't do right with Jesus. So do you think you larger than Jesus? No. They'll tell you one thing, and next thing, you know, it's like, okay. They start sounding like, I'm going to date myself. They start sounding like the lady on Charlie Brown coming over the announcements because you can't, womp, 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 womp. You know, you start asking them, you know, womp, 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 womp. You say, okay, Lord, just let them go. And you have to then pray for them and not let it get to you. It hurt. It hurt. I know it does. But God can heal that hurt and that wound, and his blessings are much more than the praise of men. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. When is due season? I don't know. You got winter, spring, summer, fall, and dew. I don't know when due season is. I don't know, but it's coming. So what? Don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. I know you're going to get tired. You're going to be exhausted, but never give up. Trust in God because he will never leave you nor forsake you. So hold on and don't get weary. And all these scriptures are leading into, I'm going to talk about Anna. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Because we're talking about a faithful woman who was a witness. Acts chapter 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. So here you're going to receive power, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that's going to allow you to be a witness. Where am I going with this? Every believer is called to be a witness. Every believer is called to be a witness, first and foremost. Not saying that you have to be in the pulpit. Not saying you have to be an evangelist, but every believer is called to be a witness. How can I be a witness? By serving in ministry, by encouraging someone with the word of God. That means I have to know the word of God. By being a friend so that they see Jesus in, we sing that song, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Well, they may not have Jesus in them, but because they see the Jesus in you, they may say, I want to be like that. That is our ministry. First and foremost, to be a witness. Let me give you an understanding of this. All our military people. I was in the Army. And in the Army, you have all types of specialties. I mean, you could go into logistics, and you can be a cook, and you can be an administrator. All of those things are specialty areas. But first and foremost, everybody that raises their right hand is called to be a soldier. That's your first duty, to be a soldier. No matter what you do, you're called to be a soldier. That's why you go through basic training. Those first 8 weeks teach you how to fight, how to throw grenades, how to shoot down targets, how to survive. And it teaches you all of that, those first 8 weeks, because first and foremost, you're a soldier. Because if you in administration and you on the computer and everything and something goes down and they start attacking, you got to know how to fight. So those first 8 weeks, basic training. The next 8 or so weeks, what they call AIT, advanced, I think, individual training, where you learn your specialty. But first and foremost, you're called to be a soldier. First and foremost, we're called to be witnesses for Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit gives us empowerment. And so we have to become a witness. Witnessing is not just for the pastor. When I grew up, they told me sheep begot sheep. Sheep can produce sheep, meaning that members bring other members. Women bring other women. Men bring other men to church. The pastor, I do my part. I go out and I do the same thing. But it's all about us working collectively together. So what does that say? The Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to spread the gospel by its indwelling. And what is the definition of a witness? People who tell the truth about Jesus Christ. People who tell the truth about Jesus Christ. And then the Greek means one who is willing to die for the faith. So now you have to say, okay, I'm in this not for me, because it's not I that live, but the Christ that lives in me. So I'm called and I'm saved unto good works. And by the power and indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I can do these things. What is it? It is not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. And so with that being said, we understand that, okay, I've got to go through some tough times. I've got to go through some things, but my body does not belong to me anymore. I was bought with a price. Jesus died on the cross. He bled for me. He bought me. And so now I am his. I am his slave. So whatever he wants me to do, I will do, no matter what. So now talking about that faithful witness, Anna, how does she fit into this equation? She didn't get weary because of well-doing. To set the stage, the scriptures before that, Mary and Joseph, Jesus had been born and had come about that time for him to be circumcised and to be presented in the customs and the traditions of Moses and bring him to the temple and all of that. And so we had Simeon, who was there in the temple, who had been longing, and God allowed him to see the baby Jesus before he died. See, what you have is understanding the Old Testament scriptures, they were looking. Some were looking for the Messiah to come. And so God allowed Simeon to behold the baby Jesus at that point right before his death. At the same time in the temple was Anna. She was in the temple, and at the same time she was able to see something that she had been longing for, praying for, and hoping for. And when she saw it, she became a witness for it. Now, what do you say? You look at this. There's a lot in there. Who was Anna? Anna, she was a prophetess. Her name means favor or grace. So she was shown much favor and much grace because she saw Christ. One of the few to see Christ before anybody. She was shown the favor of God because she was faithful to those things. She was a prophetess. See, I'm not going to get into all this concept of what women can do in the ministry, but she was a prophetess. Doesn't mean that she was one who was foretelling future events, but what it does mean or may have meant was that she was a teacher of the Old Testament to women. either in a private place in the temple or offering words of encouragement and instruction to other women from the scriptures. What is that saying about Anna? She knew the word. A faithful woman knows the word, because the word is what's going to sustain you in those tough times. So she was a prophetess. And see, there are only a few women who were named as prophetess in the Bible. Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, Nehadiah, and that Nehadiah was a false prophet. And then Isaiah's wife was called a prophetess. So it's only a few women in Bible times. And so Anna was one. She was a prophetess. That's powerful. Not only that, you say, well, Lord, you all these people I have to deal with in so much time. What did it say? She was, verse 36, she was of what? Great age. She, at this point in time, was around 104 years old, depending on how you want to look at it. She had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. What does that mean? This woman got married. She had a husband. After 7 years, he died. And she lived 84 years as a widow. Now, you have to understand that in Bible times, being a widow was a hard thing, because there was no man to take care of you, to provide you with sustenance. And if there was no family, it was a hard thing and very difficult to be a widow. You basically were in a life of extreme poverty as a widow in Old Testament times. And that's why Paul had admonished and urged younger widows, and you can find that in 1 Timothy 5 and 14, to remarry, because it wouldn't really be a burden upon the church at that time, because the church takes care of their own. But if you're a younger widow and you have the ability to get remarried, therefore you can have a husband, Paul was urging you to do that so the church wouldn't be burdened down with all of that. But here in the old, she was a widow about 84 years. And typically in that time, they got married around 13, or espoused marriage around 13. So you 13 plus 7, 20 plus 84 years as a widow, she was old. So she waited a long time to see that promise from God. Be not weary in well doing. So she was of great age. She was a widow. And this is the thing which departed not from the temple. She didn't leave the church. And I'm just going to throw this out there. She might have got some church hurt, but she didn't depart from the temple. She stayed steadfast. What does that mean? Because of the way the temple was set up, there was the outer court and the inner court, and there were rooms. And so God had given her favor, and they provided her a place to live right there on the temple grounds. So she was there, and she dedicated herself to fasting and praying. She was always at the temple. She was always, and I'm putting it in today's vernacular, she was always there physically, but we're not going to always be at church, but she was always demonstrating and witnessing for Christ wherever she was. She was always exemplifying holiness in the midst of any situation or circumstance. She did not depart from the temple. She did not depart from God when it got hard. She didn't. Anna was a strong woman. She was completely devoted to service, not to man, but to God. And when we get sold out for God, when we get sold out unto the things that God has called us, not what man wants you to do, but what God has called you to do, oh my goodness, there's just something that just burns on the inside of you that when it gets hard, you say, I just got to keep pressing on. She didn't depart. She was at the temple worshiping, praising God. She didn't leave. She didn't let anybody run her off. She might not agree with everything, but she said, I'm going to hold on to see what the end going to be. She might have been discouraged, but she say, you know, that pastor, I'm going to pray for him so he can learn to preach a little bit better. I ain't going to leave him because he needs some help. He needs some support. I'm not going to leave him. Everybody else leaving, everybody, but I'm going to stay right there. The men, they trying hard. We need some hospitality. Let's just give them some chicken wings and keep them going. She just found her specialty, her niche, her gift, and she applied herself wherever it may be. Lord, them boys ain't going to never make it, but bless their heart, they in the service. And see, that's what we need, that encouragement. And that's where the body of Christ comes in. Men and women have different roles, but it's just something about women that help. And Christ in his day always had women around him. When it was not the norm, they were there. They were at the feet of Christ. Women are an integral part of carrying forth the work of the Lord. But it's going to be hard sometimes. But she departed not from the temple, but served. We can all agree with this part here. Part B of verse 37, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. That's powerful. That's a woman who was faithful right there. Not only was she dedicated to staying in the temple, but she said, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray night and day. Why? Because there's something that I desire of God. See, fasting alone, just saying I'm not going to eat, it not much benefit. But when you couple that with prayer, because when you start to get hungry and you know you can't go there, you can go down on your knees and say, Lord, oh, help me, Jesus. And now there's a clearer pathway to God. You're more open to hear from God. And God said, okay, they done gave up something that's vital because they have a need. And because they gave up something vital, I'm going to meet that need because they are suffering for my name's sake. Anna did that day and night. Day and night. Why do we fast? We want a breakthrough. We want to see something. See, I've been there. I've prayed, Lord, I want this. I need this. I'm trying to get this. I prayed and prayed and I prayed and I prayed and that thing just wouldn't move. I said, wait a minute. Okay, you think I'm serious about this thing, Lord? I'm serious now. I'm gonna turn down food. I'm gonna turn it down. I'm not gonna eat because you know if I don't eat, I'm gonna go in shutdown mode and my body started deteriorating. I'm telling you, Lord, I'm serious about this thing. And then after a certain period of time, when you just find yourself caught up in prayer and praise and worshiping the Lord, you forget about eating. And God said, oh, I got him now. I can talk to him now. I can talk because they're reaching out to me because they say, oh, Lord, I need you right now. And God will move on your behalf. It was at times, and I'm just going to talk about me. It was sometimes I was searching for some things from God, and I was praying. But when I started fasting and praying, things started happening so fast, I got scared. I literally got scared. I said, oh, my goodness. But God said, that's what you were praying and fasting. What am I saying? She did it day and night. If there's something that you need, if there's something that you desire, while we are together collectively on this, those that are participating in this fast, I'm telling you, if you want to see God move in your life, if you want to see God change that thing in your life, if you want to see God's blessings and give you that thing, turn down the plate. I'm just a living witness. And Anna did that. Serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. This woman did a line dance, and she was 84 years old waiting on the Messiah. She gave thanks unto the Lord. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. What does that mean? Remember I told you Jesus was there and Simeon was there and he was beholding the baby Jesus. And because she was always in the temple at that particular time, at that instant when Jesus was there, God made a way for her to be there to see that thing that she had desired, the salvation of Israel. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm an analytical person. The probability of me being there at the same time the Lord was there, that's some numbers that are off there. So God made it possible for her to hear Simeon talking about the baby Jesus. And then in that, she coming in that instance was there too. And soon as she heard it and saw it, she went into praise. So here we have a woman, oh my God, God, who prayed and who praised and who was a prophetess. She prayed and she praised. And so what am I saying, women? You all have to just continue to stay prayed up, stay praised up, and get a word from the Lord and go forth and proclaim and be a witness. It says, immediately in that instant, she gave thanks unto God. She says, oh, hallelujah, there it is. That's the G. Oh, my goodness, I've been waiting so long. I've been waiting for this, and God, you allowed me to see it. I've been fasting and praying, dedicated, standing in the temple, being in the spirit and in the power of the Lord. And now that thing which I long for, you have granted. Oh, my goodness. And guess what? Nobody had to tell her to do anything. She went out proclaiming the word of God. What am I saying? When you get saved, nobody have to tell you you're saved. You know it on the inside. When you get the Holy Ghost, nobody have to tell you. You got the Holy Ghost. You got it. You feel it. You want to go do things for God. You're not saved by works, but saved unto good works. And Lord, let your light shine. Don't get discouraged. Be not weary in well doing. It says, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Remember I said earlier, our first priority is what? To witness. To witness. And when she saw Jesus, she got the word. She didn't hesitate. She went out speaking the word. And when you look at a word study on spake, it means that she continually, she didn't stop. She didn't give up. To all that wanted to hear, to all that wanted to know about the Redeemer and who was looking for their salvation for Israel, she went out and she said the Messiah had come. So to see the importance of this and the importance of women, you see, you had Simeon, a man who was old, who saw. And at the same time, God had a woman there at the same time who saw. So y'all, as we say, y'all important. Y'all talk about the men all the time, but y'all important. Women are important. And guess what? She was one of the first. She was a missionary. She was one of the first to go out and say, Jesus is here. She was one of the first to go out and proclaim the gospel. Who is the God? The gospel is Jesus Christ. She was one of the first. So God uses women to accomplish his will. What you have to be open to is, I'm going to give my gift to God. Let him use me any way that I please. Be like Anna. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't get weary. Encourage yourself. Pat yourself on the back sometime when nobody else will give you a pat. Say, Lord, I need to hear from you. I'm encouraging you. Is this all right for y'all today? So use your gifts like Anna to be a witness for God, to draw others to Christ. Use your service, your ministry to be a leader to draw others, to be a leader to spread the word about the ministry, this ministry, what you're doing here. Y'all should come over here. I'm telling you, this is what we're learning. This is what we're getting here. We're talking about Jesus. We're learning about Jesus at True Holiness. So don't fret. Don't get upset. Folk gone. Just not do. But Christ say, love them anyway. They gonna talk about you. They talk about me. Okay. Pray for them anyway. One of the hardest lessons I had to learn, and God would not let me leave a situation until I learned to pray for my enemies. And the moment I learned to pray for my enemies sincerely, he moved on my behalf. So pastor's not telling you anything he doesn't know or hasn't gone through. So ladies of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, be like Anna. Be like Anna. Be a faithful woman that witnesses for God. Prayer and fasting, learning the word, teaching the word, praising, using your gift and not getting weary. It may take a while, but in the end, it'll come. In the end, you will reap if you faint not. David said, I had almost slipped. I had almost fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Ladies, I love you. Ladies, I appreciate you. So when I talk about the men, don't think I'm not there with y'all. I had to share with you. Women are important. And my challenge to you all, as I go after and pursue men, I need the women to go pursue the women. Bring them here, I'll teach them. But I need y'all to pursue them. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Yeah. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. We Global. BashaniRadio.com. New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome. Yeah.